And right now it is time to bring in our good friends from the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, covering news, events, and happenings, South County and the associated areas around that. And we welcome in Marcy and David once again. Good morning and happy New Year.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Having a little
meltdown here. Anyway, here, David, I have it. I'll send it to you.
Would you send it to me, please?
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry.
Our list suddenly went missing of stories that we want to talk about this morning.
Well, there's a lot of stories to talk about, and it's funny. Probably two or three times a week, I scan and go to your site and pick up the different stories. But not only the different stories, when I go to your site, I also pick up different community events that are going on as well. It's a site that's updated constantly and very easy to get to. So theberkshireedge.com is where you can find them. But you can find them right here on Robin Hood Radio. And we will start off with a story that I found most interesting because it affects people here in Northwest Connecticut and, of course, in adjacent eastern New York. And the Great Barrington Select Board, considering raising taxes for out-of-town property owners, lowering them for full-time residents, how they will determine the difference. And I'm looking at your stories, and I see the amount of million-dollar homes being sold.
Oh, it's just, oh my
yeah.
gosh. Right. Well, it's, you know...
Well, this is a ritual that goes on every year.
But, you know, it is true that, you know, I remember, I have a cousin who bought a house on Stockbridge Bowl probably 40 years ago, and she said, you know, at that time it was, you know, the Berkshire, there was money in the Berkshires, but it was so quiet. You didn't know that there was money in the Berkshires, and people didn't flaunt money. And she said you couldn't have spent $1 million on a house if you wanted to. Now, you know, the times have changed, and there are a huge number of very big houses. You know, I mean, we do a real estate section every week, and we show the sales, and you know, there are, and we show what's for sale, and you know, the houses over $1 million are, you know, they are squeezing out the small houses on the market, which is making it very difficult for workers to find a place to live, workers and young families to find a place to live.
It's a problem that we all face. And now when you mention $1 million houses, that's at the lower end of the scale.
That's the lower end, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's absolutely amazing.
I would say that they don't get sold that quickly, but they sure are out there.
Well, this is a, you know, an annual exercise that the select board goes through every year to decide whether to give a property tax break to residents, you know, full-time residents, and sock it to these second homeowners, you know. There's
a
certain popular, you know, there's some kind of a kind of a there's kind of a snarky resentment of these people who have these high-end houses and properties and don't actually live here, but it's always been so, I think.
Well, but,
you know, they don't live here, but they certainly do subsidize the town because...
well, there is that.
You know, they don't send their kids to school. They don't use the police. You know, they do use the roads, obviously, but they subsidize the town because they're paying high taxes and they're not using services.
Well, you know, this story, even though you're doing it out of South County, here with Silo Ridge and Amenia, the people that own these multi-million-dollar homes, multi-million-dollar condos, they want their taxes lowered, and they want to keep the regular people's taxes, of course, the same. And it's it's a problem that this area is going to face more and more and more of.
Yeah,
you
right.
do need people to move into the area, but you also need people to live in the area and provide the services. And you know what? If you have more money and you can afford a $5 million house, guess what? You're going to have to pay.
You can afford $5 million taxes.
Yeah, it's the way it is. It's the way it always has been. So it's that's what I like when we talk about you with the stories out of South County, because they affect there are similar stories that affect all around us, not only in South County. And it's going to be interesting to see how the select board handles this and how they move forward on it.
Well, yeah. It's interesting because, you know, we already do have a tax on second homeowners, which I used to be very angry about when I was a second homeowner. We have a personal property tax, so that if you're not a full-time resident here, then you're taxed every year not only on your house, but on the contents of your house. So you have to make a list of everything that's in your house, what you paid for it, what you think the value is, and then the town will decide how much tax you pay on your personal property. Of course, you know, it's difficult to enforce because they're not going in and examining the contents of every house, so they leave it up to the homeowner to declare honestly what the furniture and dishes and furnishings are worth.
But we do
that already.
It's just an interesting proposition that that more and more towns are facing as more and more people buy property up here and move in. Next story we'll go to is COVID-19, and I know it affected you, and it affected me because I was in the hospital for a couple of days. I don't have COVID-19, and I didn't have the flu. I had the 99.7% perfect test, but while I was in there, they found out what was wrong with me. But COVID-19 is. The outbreak is pretty amazing in our area, and I don't know if it's the same in Berkshire County as it here in Litchfield County, but it's affecting businesses because bus drivers, businesses can't get people to work, pharmacists at like CVS and Walgreens and stuff like that don't show up for work because they're sick, and local-owned pharmacies, of course, do show up. It's an amazing thing what this latest outbreak has done.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, although it doesn't seem to be as deadly as the original virus, it seems to be so much more widespread. And, you know, and people are confused because at first I think people were not taking it so seriously because they didn't, that we were all vaccinated, or at least those of us who are vaccinated felt a certain amount of protection. But now I think, people are starting to get nervous again, but the lockdown is not as extreme. It's just that people are not showing up. It's a different configuration.
Well, that's the whole thing, and I think the other thing that comes in on this is because the variant is not as deadly as the first one, and even though it is if you're not vaccinated, and it is if you've got compromised conditions and you're over 60, but I think that sends a message to people that, well, let's wait this one out, and we'll get herd immunity, and the more people that get sick and are out for 4 or 5 days of work, the more it affects the economy and the more it affects the area.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and not only that, but the more people refuse to get vaccinations, then the more this is likely to be just the first of several new strains, because we're not getting rid of it, so we won't have herd immunity.
Yeah, the virus obviously is replicating itself to stay alive,
sure.
because that's
sure.
without human bodies to go into, it won't exist, and that's what these viruses do. They change and they evolve so they can continue to go on. But
right.
it's an amazing story. Almost 2 years later, that we're following that started off 2 years ago.
Well, we have actually two very interesting stories up just since yesterday. We have We have a report from the Tri-Town Health Department about the, which is the state of the virus as of Tuesday morning.
In Berkshire County.
In Berkshire County.
Right.
We also have a very interesting article by Dr. Richard Kessin, who actually lives in, David wrote Lakeville, but he lives in Norfolk.
Norfolk, right.
He is a retired microbiologist from Columbia University who now lives here full time. And he has written a very interesting article about sort of what the, what the scientists are doing about COVID. That's definitely worth reading. So, we're looking at it from two perspectives. We're looking at it from, how it's ravaging the community, but also, what we can anticipate. And essentially, he's saying that, the scientific and medical community are creating new vaccines and developing treatments to inhibit virus replication so that instead of being a pandemic, it will end up being endemic. So from pandemic to endemic, which means that we'll live with it.
As we do with other viruses.
Yeah, that we'll have sporadic infection at low levels, but we won't be... the viruses will not be overwhelming hospitals and harming the economy.
It's one of the things when you talk about about the virus and the short-term effects, and scientists on the same hand are looking at what the possible long-term effects of the different variants of COVID might do to the human body. That is, we're just starting to scratch the surface of that.
Right. Well, the encouraging news is that it seems that at least Omicron seems to peak at a certain point, as it has in South Africa, that it gets up to a certain point and then it kind of peters out. So he is hoping that sometime in February we will come to, it'll peak here and start. But who knows? I mean, there could be a new variant. Somebody told me yesterday, and this is not, verified, but somebody told me yesterday there's a new variant, which is a combination of Delta and Omicron. So who knows?
It's like I said, when I went to the hospital, the first thing, I was transported complete COVID protocols, got into the hospital, Sherwood Hospital, complete COVID protocols. And I'll tell you what, the people that work in these ambulance squads and the people that work in the hospitals are absolutely amazing. I mean, the doctors, the nurses, everybody, they're absolutely amazing. They really do follow these protocols seriously, and they really, really do a great job.
And they're putting themselves on the front lines, So it's you have to admire them doing their job and taking care of us and putting themselves at risk.
Yeah, it really
is. Are they very covered up? I mean, are they protecting themselves? And how are they doing it?
Well, first of all, everybody in the ambulance squad, by the way, they got here in 3.5 minutes, and I was in the in the hospital in 6 minutes. They all had gowns on. They all had not only face masks, but the plastic masks and gloves and everything like that. And then in the hospital, same thing. Every time they came in and out of the room, they were in different personal protection equipment. They change it every time. They keep changing it every time, and God bless them is all I can say. I felt very secure and comfortable with it.
And that's for your protection, I guess, because they don't want to bring it in from another room to you.
Yeah, it's amazing how it affects our area, and these people are doing a great job. Well, we'll move on from COVID, please.
We have other good news. I mean, our next good news is that Great Barrington is creating free public access to Wi-Fi in our downtown area.
Yeah. So that is that's good news, and this has been a project and a goal of the town. and now they seem to be on the verge of, installing this. So this is going to be great.
So they are now. We have a picture of a technician from the company called FiberConnect installing a public Wi-Fi router at the entrance to one of the big buildings on Main Street.
Right.
Actually, is this the building that we're in? No, it's the one next door.
Yes, next door.
We do have an office, right? So I'm wondering if we can stop paying for Wi-Fi in our office and just get it. Get it from the town.
Well, it's a large investment, but it's an investment that invests in the future of business in town because more and more every business, doesn't matter how big or how small you are, you do depend yourself on Wi-Fi and internet service to give people more information and to give people more access.
Well, you can't take credit cards if you don't have Wi-Fi now. You can't get paid.
I know that. It goes along with what you're saying here. And Sharon, they have a task force out here that is putting together for out here how to provide Wi-Fi, just plain internet service in a lot of areas of the town, simply because it's such a large town and there's so many hilly areas that aren't reached by cable. So every town, I think, is looking at this in different ways.
And we are all through the Berkshires as well, yes. Because we have the same problem, and Deval Patrick had a project called Wired West, where he wanted to wire the western part of the state, and so every town in the Berkshires does have high-speed internet coming into a hub in the town. It may be the library, maybe town hall, maybe the police department, but it doesn't get out in what they call the last mile, which, goes from that hub to your home. That's the great expense.
Yeah.
Once the internet is there, then towns can actually start to look and source out and see how expensive it's going to be to get involved, ask taxpayers if they want to get involved. So just getting the service there is important, and then you can take the next steps and move on with it.
Well, the thing is that, first of all, in terms of real estate, if you don't have Wi-Fi at your house, you can't sell it. I mean, never mind whether or not you want to live in it, but no one will buy it. Can you imagine somebody moving up here and having to go back to dial-up?
No.
It won't happen.
Well, shout-out here to FiberConnect, because what they've been doing is providing internet service to all the rural towns that don't really have enough people or central core to justify economically, but they're going in and wiring all these towns so that they're on the internet, and this has been a project of theirs for years, and it's great for this rural community up here.
Yes, well, there is this local company called FiberConnect, which has been connecting towns, and from past discussions, we have a number of towns that took it upon themselves. When Time Warner or Spectrum and Verizon have no interest in spending the money on wiring these, sparsely populated, large area towns. Many towns took it upon themselves, and now they have better Wi-Fi. And I think that Egremont has better, and Little Mount Washington have better Wi-Fi than Great Barrington.
It's step by step, inch by inch.
Yeah, right.
We've got about 2.5-3 minutes left. I want to get on to the story where a select board member in Great Barrington is explaining what the town's doing to alleviate affordable housing shortages.
This is an issue in Great Barrington.
It is in Connecticut.
A discussion that we run on the edge with the select board members, And they...
It's Not That Simple.
It's called It's Not That Simple.
Right.
And this time it was, their discussion was about housing. And what has the town done to provide affordable housing opportunities for people? And this is a really, we recommend this as a discussion of what Great Barrington is doing. And it's an issue, of course, that comes to many towns like Great Barrington, where, you know, the second home owner population has made the property values go sky high.
Right.
And it makes it difficult for people who are living here full time to own property.
Now, this discussion is interesting because it really is focusing on zoning, how you zone to allow, I mean, things like tiny houses or, you know, or multiple family dwellings and, second houses in your backyard. But somebody wrote in a comment, which is, you know, also interesting, that we can talk about zoning, but we also have to talk about the cost of construction. Because, you know, if you can't afford to build a house, even if the zoning allows it, then, you know, then you won't have more houses.
Yeah.
So it's not just a question of zoning. It's really a question of, you know, especially since the beginning of the pandemic, building materials have skyrocketed. Everything has skyrocketed, but building materials especially. So, and also the contractors are also busy with renovating home, you know, second homes, that there's nobody left to build houses.
And
so it's really very difficult.
Well,
but this is a very interesting article. I mean, I don't mean to dismiss it because it is the first step. It's, you know, to discuss how the town can encourage through zoning, how it can encourage, the construction of more affordable housing, more housing and more affordable housing.
All right, yep. Just a few of the stories that we follow, but you can follow many more of the stories at theberkshireedge.com. It's great to speak to you guys again this weekend.
Well,
Marshall. Yeah, be well, Marshall, and take care of your dad, you know.
And everybody stay warm.
That's
stay
right.
warm.
All right, guys, speak to you next week.
Bye.
All right, take
bye.
Care. TheBerkshireEdge.com on the web, and right here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find them at robinhoodradio.com on demand. Click on The Berkshire Edge.